Conservation in urban areas is another way to mitigate biodiversity and habitat loss. Now, urban areas, of course, are often highly degraded with loss of many, many species that have long since disappeared as areas were covered with buildings and pavement and human population. But nonetheless, our urban areas can play an important role in providing stepping stones for migratory species and connectivity along the landscape. So some of the strengths of urban areas is they can be very effective at engaging the public in conservation and in learning about biodiversity. Things like native plant gardens and parks and school gardens can really help to provide an educational role in why biodiversity is important. There are many, many methods of conservation within urban areas that engage people, and so you can really achieve a variety of goals through these approaches. There are documented health benefits of people spending time in nature and being able to walk outside their door into a leafy park or a sunny prairie. There are economic benefits through tourism and engagement in outdoor recreation in these natural areas that are close to urban areas. And of course, there's cultural benefits as well. And there can be benefits for targeted species, in particular those that are already somewhat tolerant of human-managed areas that can live in close proximity to humans. You know, you're not going to be saving, you know, elephants and rhinos in the middle of Chicago or in the middle of a big city, but or tigers. You know, you're not going to necessarily help large mammals, but you can help many other target species that need that connectivity that might have to pass through urban areas. Another weakness is, of course, within an urban area, the habitats you can restore and create in that urban area are likely to be fragmented, and they may be at risk. A park or a green space can be susceptible to development pressure as population grows. So there may not be a long-term guarantee that those things will exist in the future. Oftentimes, even though you can attract birds and butterflies and other things to those urban areas or squirrels and urban mammals, risks still remain for those species because of the fragmentation. They are at risk of collisions with cars and with windows. They might get poisoned by pollution or poisons that are set up out for domestic pests. And they are susceptible to the diseases of our domestic animals. And so sometimes those diseases can actually spread out into the wild populations that are present in more natural areas. So there are some risks. And also, many people just don't want wildlife around them. They don't like raccoons digging into their trash can. They don't want squirrels, you know, that might come into their garage or chew their cables. So attracting wildlife to urban areas while having many benefits can also generate some conflicts that have to be dealt with through education. Some examples of the many methods that can be used in urban areas include native plant gardens. These are prairies, school gardens, you know, parks with native plants, medians that have native species, lots of ways to protect biodiversity in the urban area. Green roofs can attract all sorts of wildlife, birds and things. Low reflection glass is an urban approach for conservation because many, many, many birds die by hitting windows. And you can attract birds with bird feeders. There's things like bat houses, parks and greenways with large trees that cavity nesters like woodpeckers and raccoons and other species that need, owls need. All are important components of protecting biodiversity in and around human urban areas.